Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again to bring God's Word to you this morning. And my name's Craig Boerter. And just to say before we begin that we've also sent out some questions, some discussion questions, devotional questions that you can look through after hearing this message and looking at the passage. We're looking at the parable of the sower today as we continue in our series on the parables. And so at the end, we'll put up the questions. And I'd encourage you to do the questions as you sit and look at the scriptures and ask questions about the Word of God and also about your own life. But I would encourage you to also continue to be a sower of God's Word as we'll hear this morning. And so let's get ready. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 8 together. And for those that are watching from other places outside Pietermaritzburg and Grace Generation Church, it's wonderful to have you tune in again with us. It's a real joy. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you again for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, Lord, and you change us through your word. Your kingdom advances through your word. And I pray this morning as I look at the parable of the sower, Lord, that you would give me unction to preach your word and that you would sow your word into our hearts so that there may be fruitfulness, a harvest, 30, 60, 100 times what has been sown. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. And so last week, Masala began an excellent introduction on the parables, parable of the sower. And so I may repeat a few things this morning that he said, but that's fine. Preaching is repetition. But let's just start by looking at God's word. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 8, from verse 4 together. And it says, and when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some of it fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew, and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and the ones along the path are those who have heard, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they do not believe and are saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. And those, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. But as for those what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bearing fruit with patience. Amen. This is God's word. And so we've been saying this year that this is a year of strengthening for us as we seek to strengthen one another and encourage one another. And we're hoping to gather as well physically in some form or another soon. But one of the key ways that we can be strengthened as believers is through the Word of God. The Word of God strengthens us and encourages us and helps us to be fruitful as we obey and apply the Word of God in our lives. And Masala began last week by saying, as he opened up the stories of Jesus, these parables that Jesus taught, he said that when you come to Matthew 11 and 12, Jesus was beginning to be rejected by the Jewish religious leaders. And so from Matthew 13, he begins to speak more and more in parables, and he clusters these parables together. And so for those that were proud and looking for position and power, the parables are a kind of a judgment, really, and they kind of cause blindness and a hardening of heart, so that people see but don't see, and they hear but don't hear. But for those that are open to God and humble and wanting to receive from God, the parables are a tremendous blessing, and they reveal to us the secrets of the kingdom of God. And so just as our sun, when it shines, just as it can bake the ground and make it hard, that same sun can also melt wax and make it soft. And so it is with the Word of God. And my prayer for us this morning is that as we continue to hear God's Word through lockdown, that we would value God's Word. We would not become complacent. We would not take the Word of God for granted, but that we would receive it with joy and apply it in our lives in order that we may bear much fruit for the glory of God. And so let's dive straight in this morning, and just to recap a couple of things we heard from last week. First of all, Masala was telling us that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And often it's teaching us one main truth, one main point it wants to get across to us. And because the kingdom of God, because the rule of God, the reign of God is so mysterious, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and it's radical. And in a sense, it's subversive, it's subtle, because it has a different value system, because it has different priorities. So completely different from the kingdoms of this world. Jesus, as the master storyteller, he used everyday stories to open up to us these mysteries of the kingdom and to call forth for a decision. And so he told us stories about seeds and birds and plants and farmers and trees. And he used the ordinary to open up the extraordinary. And he used the natural to open up the supernatural. He used earthly things to explain heavenly realities. And they caused us to think and ask questions. And then as we come to an understanding, what it does, it releases the power of the kingdom of God into our lives. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we find here that the parable of the sower is actually the key to all the parables. It's really pivotal. Jesus said, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand the other parables? And so the parable of the sower is an amazing story with hidden truth. And yet the Bible itself, if I can just take a step back, the Bible itself is the greatest story that's ever been told. When we understand that God, as the main actor, acted in Christ, in history. He stepped in to reconcile us to himself through the cross. And you'll find that every good story, whether it's a movie you watch, a book you read, and particularly the gospel story, which is the greatest story, every story, every good story has a hero. And Jesus is our hero. He is heaven's champion. Every story has a villain or a bad guy, and that is Satan. And every story, there's redemption. There's something good that comes out of it. And really, the Bible story is about King Jesus, who came to earth, and he took pity on us. We were like a poor prostitute, and he noticed us, and he had pity on us, and he reached out to us, and he married us. We were united with him through faith in Christ, through what he's done for us. And we find in that union, in that marriage union, we became one. And all our sin was transferred to King Jesus. And all his wealth and status was given to us. Hallelujah. And that's why it's called the Good News. It's a good story. It's the greatest story. And Jesus seldom taught without a story. And we find that in the time of Jesus' ministry, it was estimated about 5% of the population of Israel could read only. Most of the stories were oral stories. Aramaic was the common language spoken, but there was not a lot of printed material in Aramaic. The Jewish scholars could read Hebrew, and most of the written material was in Hebrew. And Jesus ministered in such a world. He himself could read, and probably even spoke Greek when he spoke to Pilate, the Roman governor. But Jesus taught in such a world, and so he used the language of simple folk to communicate to them. He didn't use sophisticated language. He didn't use the language of the scribes and the scholars. They said, we've never heard teaching like this. He teaches as one who has authority, yet he uses simple language, simple stories. to captivate his audience. And you'll find, friends, that most of the world today are still oral learners. People don't learn through reading. Many folk don't do that. They learn orally. About 70% of the unreached people groups for the gospel in the world are oral learners. And many people, even with the Bible in their own language, they don't read well. And so, like Jesus, we must know the Bible story. We must know what the Bible is talking about and being able to tell that story to others. Oral learning is growing through electronic technology. That may surprise you, but people are reading less and less as we live in a visual age. And so being able to tell God's story in a way that people can understand is very important. That's why in Grace Gen, we've tried to take strong theology and put it in simple terms for folk. And what we've been doing over the years as well is sowing God's word and seed through the Michael Eaton material that we've been using, the volumes of the plan and purpose of God, and some of the little books we've been printing. And I just did an analysis this week, but we have distributed through us and Grant Newper, a friend of mine in Pretoria, we've distributed literally hundreds and hundreds of these little commentaries and books on the Word of God. So we've been sowing the Word of God, and I would encourage you to keep doing that as well. Even in the West, where many societies are post-Christian, there's a suspicion about the Bible. We must be able to tell God's story, God's big story, in a way that communicates in the West, even to folk that are skeptical of the Scriptures. And so I would encourage you to do that as we tell God's story. But secondly, let me also talk about the kingdom of God. Many of the parables are about God's kingdom, which really was the central theme of Jesus' teaching. The kingdom of God, as we heard last week, is not a geographical place like the Zulu kingdom here in KwaZulu-Natal, but it really is a spiritual kingdom. It's the rule and the reign of God as God breaks into our lives when we see who Jesus is and we bow our knee to Him and we realize He died upon the cross for our sins. And so it's a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And I want to encourage you this morning that God's kingdom is growing and it is advancing even through this lockdown. God is up to stuff. God's kingdom is growing and it is advancing. And that's why we're encouraged to pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done." In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "He has delivered you from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so God's kingdom has come, but we're longing for it to come in its fullness. And so we live and we pray with expectation. And we live out a lifestyle of the kingdom that makes the gospel look attractive to others. And so I was saying at the beginning of the year that Jesus is our shepherd. He shepherds us during dark times. But friends, he's also the shaker of nations, as he shakes the kingdoms of this world. And I really want to say this at the moment. We are living through a time of global shaking, as we've said already, as God is shaking the kingdoms of this world in every way. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." He's speaking now. And there's a connection between God's voice and the shaking. I spoke last year in June about this pandemic being like a mirror and a lens, a mirror to see more of ourselves and the things we put our trust in, and a lens to see what God is doing in these days. And this pandemic is really God's megaphone as he wakes people up to the reality of death. It's something that society doesn't want to talk about. It's something that's pushed onto the fringes of society, but now it's front and center. And God is shaking that people may see and receive his kingdom that cannot be shaken. That we may receive a kingdom that in the midst of the shaking that's going on, there's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And it stands there, and people, there's great opportunity at the moment to notice and to see the reality of God's kingdom. And so I would encourage you to be open to God, to look for opportunities, and for you yourself to be ready to receive a kingdom that cannot be, to receive in the midst of a shaking. That's an unusual combination. to be expectant when you least expecting for God to do stuff in your life. And so I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to keep asking, to be hungry for God, to keep asking. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Because friends, if you can hear God, it means you're in the kingdom of God already and you're open to God and He's given you something. If you can't hear, you're not in the kingdom and you need to repent. And you need to change your mind about everything you've believed. And so we need ears and eyes that are open to God in these days and in this hour. There are two kinds of people, really. There are those that have ears and listen but don't hear or understand anything. And there are those that have ears and listen and hear and understand what God is saying. And parables have different impacts on different types of people. They can be a blessing and they can be a judgment. They're not there to keep us out. They're there to call us into the kingdom. But we do need open hearts. We do need to be open to God. And those who begin to hear, start hearing more. Jesus said, to those whom it has been given, more will be given. And for those that have not heard and have not received, even the little they have will be taken away from them. It's like a child. When a child is born, they're great centers of hearing and learning. Children can learn many languages at a young age. It's much more difficult when you get older. And it's like that when you come into the kingdom. As we open, God gives us more and more and more. In the natural, an empty vessel can contain more. But in the kingdom of God, a full vessel receives more. And so I would encourage you to be open to God because His kingdom is advancing and God wants to do fresh things in your life. My ability to grow depends on my ability to hear and respond to God. Hearing and listening occurs many times in the parables. Hearing and obeying is the ABC of the Christian life. You'll never move on to maturity unless you can hear and obey. And so entrance into the kingdom and growth in the kingdom depends on hearing God. Faith comes by hearing. It's your ears, not your eyes, that are the channel to your soul in the kingdom of God. We live in a visual age, but actually it's your ears, it's your spiritual ears. As you pick up heaven's frequencies, as you pick up the voice of God, as God speaks to you through His word or through His preached word. And when I do that and I apply God's word, I begin to grow. And I begin to experience the kingdom of God. As we even turn our eyes into ears, when we read the Bible, we're not just reading, but we're listening. We're listening for His voice. We're listening to Him, for Him to speak to us. Even the whispers of God in our innermost parts, we're listening for God to speak to us. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 27 says, the spirit or the candle of man is the lamp of the Lord. Searching out His innermost part. God illuminates things to you. God will speak to you. Sometimes in a still small voice. It's happened so many times in my own life. As God has spoken to me. Just I've heard His voice inwardly. And as I've responded, God has opened up things. It's how I got married. It's how I came to Peter Maritzburg. It's how we made many decisions in our lives. It was just hearing God's voice and just simply obeying it. And suddenly there was a ripple effect as the kingdom of God broke in through that hearing and obeying. But let's move on quickly and let's talk about God's word itself, the seed that is sown. The Bible says the word of God is like a seed, a little seed that is sown, which is God's word. And so God's words have spiritual power in them. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. It produces life in you when you receive God's word. And really the word points to Jesus. Jesus as the King of God's kingdom. He is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure hidden in a field. He is our good Samaritan. And so we look to Jesus. The word leads us to Christ. He is the living word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so let's honor the Word of God. Let's tremble, friends, as we read the Word of God. Let's not become casual or indifferent or passive or blasé about the Word of God. The big danger for churches that are great in expository preaching is they can produce great passivity. That may surprise you. We just come to hear another word. But we need to be radical, just as God's kingdom is radical, and receive the Word with eagerness and ask God to help us to apply it. And so finally, I come to the soil as I draw to a close this morning. And let's talk about the soil. So I want to suggest to you today that there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is good. The seed is the Word of God. It all depends on the soil. The quality of the soil is what causes growth or no growth. You can't sow good seed in bad soil or in a faithless environment. It will reject the seed. It will reject the seed. And so you have to look for the right kind of soil, even in your own life. When you speak to people, you have to ask God to give you good soil, hearts that are open, people that are listening, people that are ripe. And sometimes you may be confused, but God's given you a word or you have His word, but the reception, the soil, is not open. And so the problem is not with the seed, it's with the soil. It's not what you sow, but it's where you sow that's so critical. And we find that the kingdom of God has different degrees of response and effectiveness. Even Jesus himself, amazingly, was not 100% effective. Not all his family believed. And after the crucifixion, there were only 120 in the upper room. But yet God is gracious and he keeps sowing everywhere, even though he may only reap somewhere. And so there are really four main responses every time God's word comes. First of all, there's the pathway response. There are some that hear the word, but they don't understand. They don't receive the word. It's like they're deaf. It says in Ephesians that the God of this world has blinded people. There's like a veil over their eyes and ears. And the enemy, the devil, comes and steals the word of God so that they don't understand and they don't receive what God is trying to say to them. And we need to pray for them and look for opportunities. And then you have the rocky soil, secondly. The seed that's sown amongst the rocks. And it's those that hear the word and they receive it with joy. Hallelujah, this is wonderful. But really, it's an emotional response. It's a shallow response. It's not a true response of faith. And when trouble or persecution or difficulty comes, people give up. They don't persevere. The plant has no root. And I've seen that with folk, even in our own family, where there was an initial excitement, and then later on, folk, it seemed like they rejected the Word of God. And you may think, well, have they lost their salvation? No, they weren't saved in the first place. They were people that just had a profession of salvation. They were the rocky soil people. And so they don't persevere. And we need to make sure that we're aware of rocks and issues in our lives that need to be dealt with in order that we may receive the Word of God and it may bear fruit. And then thirdly, you get the seed that's sown amongst the thorns. And it says, some hear, but other things come along and choke the word. Bill Johnson says, we have the potential with our thoughts and our attitudes and our desires to put a stranglehold on the word and the promises of God in our lives. And so you get three types of thorns, really. You get the cares of this world. The Message translation says we can be overwhelmed with worries about the things we have to do and the things we want to get. And that stress strangles the Word of God in your life and nothing comes of it. And the more time you spend in worry and anxiety, the more you'll strangle the Word of God in your life. And then we have the deceitfulness of riches. And people that are very wealthy and love position are in greater danger of blocking the flow of the kingdom in their lives. True spirituality is found in my relationship with the Lord, not what I own or I disown. Money is great. Money is wonderful. But if too much of it causes me to lose my trust in God, then it becomes bad. Money can create false entitlement and false identity. We put our identity and our trust in those things. My identity shouldn't be in titles or riches or my bank account, but my identity should be in the fact that I'm a child of God. So ask God to give you only what your heart can handle. If you sort this out in your life, you'll find He'll give you true riches. And then there's desire for other things. Just stuff that idols and distractions that choke the word and render it, it just pulls you away. You don't mature. You don't bear fruit. Ever growing, ever consuming, but not producing. You're not producing. You're not a fruitful Christian. You're an eternal consumer, but you're not coming through to maturity. But then finally, we have those that hear, they're not distracted. The word's gone into good soil. They prioritize the word and they bear much fruit. Much fruit. And that's my prayer for myself and my prayer for you as you're listening to this message. Fruitfulness. God is looking for fruitfulness. He's not just looking for faithfulness. He's looking for fruitfulness. That may surprise you. He's looking for fruitfulness. 30, 60, 100, 200, 1,000-fold of what was sown. And so how do I apply this as I close in the next minute or so? Well, I need to remove things in my life. I need to remove any rocks or any issues in my life that may impede or block the flow of the kingdom of God in my life. If the issues of bitterness and unforgiveness and other results, those are like rocks that will block the kingdom. It'll block the power of the kingdom of God in your life. I need to deal with that. Dig them out. Be ruthless in your life. Jesus was radical. Jesus was ruthless. He said, if there are things that cause you to block the flow of the kingdom, cut it off, throw it away, deal with it. Get radical. Secondly, I need to clear things out of my life. I need to clear the thorns that may choke the little plant so that there's no fruit, because only a mature tree will bear fruit. And thirdly, I need to watch. I need to watch my priorities. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And if you do this, all other things will be added to you as well. And I encourage you to do that in your priorities. Put the kingdom of God first. Put Him first. Put His word first in your life. Be a sower of God's word. Be a sower of God's word. Who knows what God is going to do? Who knows what He's going to use? Who knows what's out there? We're trusting God that we can distribute thousands and thousands of these little commentaries of Michael Eaton across this continent of Africa in the next 10 years. I've got a Zoom meeting in the next hour with Michael's son, Calvin Eaton, as we look at distributing this material. And as we put God's plan and purpose on Kindle so that literally hundreds and hundreds of leaders can receive the word of God. We need to ask God to help us again that our passion for His word and His seed may be ignited in our lives. That we may be those that love and tremble at God's word, and we become a sower of the word of God. We sow seeds of the gospel, seeds of the word of God, seeds in our giving, knowing that as we sow these things, after a time, we'll reap a harvest. 30, 60, 100 fold in our lifetime. And there will be much joy in the kingdom of heaven. I trust this word's helped you. Please go through the questions that I've left with you. They'll appear on your screen. And be a receiver, a hearer of God's word. Make sure your heart constantly has good soil so that God can continue to cultivate and use you to bear more and more fruit, and be a sower yourself in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, won't you help us in these days to be radical members of your kingdom, sowers of your word, receivers of your word, hearers of your word, and fruitful in your kingdom, that you may be glorified, that we may see your kingdom advance radically in these days, even in the midst of a global shaking. Help us, we pray, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you.